So when you say, I'm the head of the home, you better think about Moses a little bit too. And understand that this is an honorable position, and it is a serious position, and it should be a wonderful position. Because ideally, your wife is your companion, not your competitor. She's there to support you as head of the home. And you are there to protect her and to provide for her without going against God's word. What is complicated about this?
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of Ephesians. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Ephesians chapter 5 is the place where Pastor Rick will be teaching from today on Cross Reference Radio.
As I started out, the pastor steps into a pulpit and he begins to preach the word of God. He opens himself up to conflict and confrontation and combat. I wonder, as I'm saying these things, I didn't write them. I'm submitted to them. I wonder if, as I'm saying this, is someone resisting me, saying, well, but. See, they always put their butts in the way. And they think that that's somehow, you know, a magic wand. My butt trumps God's commandment. I'm sorry, there's no butt that big. I'm trying to say this and you're not helping me. I mean B-U-T, not B-U-T-T. But if you're filling it in because you see it, you know, enjoy yourselves. But don't go blaming, boy, that pastor's crass. I'm not doing it. But it is true. In Eden, when God made man and woman, Adam didn't know what was happening. God put him to sleep. The lesson there is that this man was asleep in God's will. That's where we men need to be. That's where we women need to be. The word husband here in the Greek always is the masculine, in the masculine sense. It's always male. There's no two ways about this. But when Adam was given to Eve, we covered this last week, she assumed his name. Name is nature. Nature is behavior. It's identity. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 2, it says, he created them male and female. So there's no mistake about this. And blessed them and called them Adam. Adam. This was the Adams family. Again, I didn't make any connections. This is what it was. The Greek, the Hebrew word for mankind in Genesis 5, 2 is the identical word for the name of Adam, the husband. She assumes his identity. She came from him. There's nothing wrong with this. In the day that they were created, she's embraced this. She is his companion. And God has never apologized for this. He has never come back to undo it. And yet we see Christians, male and female alike, trying to find a way to get out from under this because they're tired. Colossians chapter 3 says the same thing. I'm not going to cross-reference too many verses. We'll never get out of chapter 5. But verse 23 says, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he, that is Christ, is the Savior of the body. So twice, from the bottom up in verse 23, twice Paul refers to the church, the assembly, universal and local. And he's saying that the church is dear to Christ. The very institution that so many Christians think or behave as though it's noble to criticize, to attack, to create trouble in, to resist. You know, marriage is not supposed to be a competition with each other. Coming to church is not supposed to be a competition with each other. We're not supposed to have this spirit of divisiveness and be combatants with each other. And yet many spouses behave as though they're in a competition with each other. Who can do this the most? Who can get the better career? Who can get the highest income? Who can win the kids' favor more than the other? And it's just madness. You think that comes from God when you try to get one of your children to love you more than the other spouse? Do you think that's honorable? If you're the losing spouse, you hate such an event. That's divisiveness. Satan in your home. That's the African black mamba and all of his ferocity slithering around your home. You've got to be companions with each other. If one of you is the captain of the ship and you say, let's row north, and the first mate says, let's go south, you got a big problem. And as a result, the testimony is damaged. And those who need to be saved look at Christians and say, if that's what it means to be saved, you can keep it. The testimony is ruined. Always ruined over self. Every marital problem that has ever existed amongst Christians, one of them or both of them, is catering to self. They're not listening to Jesus. They're going for their own needs, their own wants, their own desires, without exception. Marriages just don't drop bad. They just don't, all of a sudden you wake up and it's bad. Someone is not listening to the Lord. Here's the problem. I have learned that the guilty ones are always quick to blame the innocent ones. Who can sort that out? Only God. Only God can fix that. The individuals know they're lying to themselves, I think. They're not in the Word. They're not in fellowship. They're not in communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not in prayer. When they pray, it's something for themselves. These things are given to us in Scripture. You shall continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in communion, and in prayer. And when you step out of that, you've got problems. And then you come down to the church and say, hey, fix this. And if you don't fix it, I'm going to Facebook you. I'm going to blog. I'm going to tell everybody what you told me that I felt was wrong. In Jesus' name. This is what happens. I think Facebook's one of the worst things to happen to our generation. Facebook, texting each other. I mean, to some degree, you got to be careful. I mean, there are right uses. That's the problem. Sin is to take a good thing and do something wrong with it. That's what sin is. And there's nothing wrong with texting somebody and saying, boy, my pastor's really great. This is a good thing to do. But when it becomes, you can't do anything else. Fixing coffee now and drinking coffee now. I don't remember and it's all about you. It's all about your, just people meeting up with people that they left behind in an old life, dragging them back in, and the next thing you know, you've got a divorce. And on, we can go on and on with these things. I don't want to go on. I don't even like bringing it up. But it's true. You Christians better be careful. Because the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and those whom he devour didn't believe it was so. That's why they were swallowed up. Samson, what are you doing in the vineyard? You're a Nazarene. You're not supposed to touch the grape. Why are you in the vineyard? Oh, it's a shortcut. That's why he met the lion. He shouldn't have been there in the first place. And with all of his strength, he was taken down, not by a lion, but by a damsel, by a woman, because he played with what God said. He played with what God wanted. The spirit of it was, I don't want you being anything less than dedicated to me. And he played with that. And Christians are doing the same thing. They want his salvation. They just don't want his lordship. I want your blessings. I don't want your interference. And it happens too frequently. Verse 23, where he says the husband is head of the wife. That's what it means. Oh, would you like me to get in trouble with God right here in front of you? Okay, let's play the game. It doesn't mean that. Let's see, what could it mean? Well, I don't know. That's what it means. The husband is the leader. He is to be the head of the home. And it is to be a home and not a house. And it takes more than one person to make it work. And if you have been the victim of a bad marriage, if you're still in the marriage, make it work as much as is in you. Be blameless before the Lord. If you are out of it, I understand these things are painful to hear from the pulpit or anywhere else. But what are we supposed to do with them for the next generation? Not say them because somebody's feelings might get hurt? We have to say them. You young Christians who've not been married, when you say, but pastor, we want you to perform our wedding ceremony. Well, when we say, okay, but you're going to have to go through premarital counseling. And the other person's got to be a believer. When we start laying this stuff on you, that's your cue to start resisting. That's your cue to give us a hard time. That's your cue to run off and do it your way. Because after all, we've just come up with these things because we've got nothing else to do with our time. It's no interruption of our time to have seven marital sessions for you. You have to understand that we're trying to fight sin so that we can preach Christ, so that people won't go to hell, so that we can be strong and powerful and not a house divided but a house united. But it means you've got to submit. We'll get to the pastoral authority, because where the pastoral authority is undermined, everything is shot up. You're putting holes in your own boat because God has ordained this, not because I'm standing here as pastor saying these things. It has not benefited me to the point where I just have this luxury of being the pastor. Listen, any of you young men here think you want to be pastors? You need to meet with me, because I'm going to try to stop you from being a pastor. Because I know that if God has called you, I can't stop you. And I also know that if you've called yourself, you need to be stopped. Do you understand? You think it's just stepping up into the pulpit, sharing people your views of Scripture as you've kneeled before the Lord and agonized over these things and tried to think them through? You think that's the extent of it? You don't know what it's like till they started having your children for breakfast over their conversations, when they start talking about your wife, when they start talking about you and your sermons and your lack of this and your lack of that. Man of God, you better understand, you better be called. I'm fit for nothing else. This is what God's called me to do, and I plan to do it gallantly. And I don't plan to get to scripture verses like this where it says, wives, submit to your own husbands, where he's the head of the wife. And I don't plan to say, well, I can't say that because people don't like to hear it. I'm going to say it because God told me to say it, and that's the end of it. And you should be doing the same thing. And he continues, he says, as also, Christ is head of the church. We've discussed this a little bit, but I want to stay on this a little bit more. Men, you think, yeah, I'm the head of the home. Remember Moses? Moses was called by God to deliver the people. And there came a day not long after that, maybe it was just minutes, Moses is strolling home and God seeks to kill him because Moses was head of the home, spiritual leader, and he was not doing what he was supposed to be doing. And we read about it here in Exodus chapter 4. And it came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, surely you are a husband of blood to me. So he let him go. And then she said, you are a husband of blood because of the circumcision. Moses was supposed to do that. He was supposed to be the head of the home. He was avoiding his responsibilities. He didn't want to do it. And God was pretty serious about dealing with him, was he not? He said the Lord sought to kill him. Fortunately, the Lord hadn't his mind made up. That would have been it. So when you say, I'm the head of the home, you better think about Moses a little bit too. And understand that this is an honorable position, and it is a serious position, and it should be a wonderful position. Because ideally, your wife is your companion, not your competitor. She's there to support you as head of the home. And you are there to protect her and to provide for her, without going against God's word. What is complicated about this? Something must be, and I must be missing it. Because enough Christians have enough problems to make it not work. And I have never heard someone say, you got a good reason for disobeying God. It doesn't work that way. Ladies, if you're insecure about this, if you're paranoid about this, you better talk to God. Go tell him that he made a big mistake by setting it up this way. Go tell him you know better. Men, you don't want to fulfill your responsibility. Maybe your wife's been irritating to you and you just don't respect her anymore because you don't like the decisions she's made. And so now you want to go to God and complain to him about your wife. If these things don't stop, they will continue to happen. Proverbs has much to say about these things. Proverbs 30, verse 20, 21, it says, for three things the earth is perturbed. Yes, for four it cannot bear up. For a servant when he reigns, a fool when he is filled with food, a hateful woman when she is married, and a maidservant who succeeds her mistress. Now, the maidservant who succeeds her mistress, you see, the chain of command is broken. The ideal system is not working. This is the case with Sarah and Hagar. When Sarah could not bear a child, and she, in her misguided advice and Abraham going along with it. She has Hagar go with her husband, and Hagar conceives, and Hagar starts strutting around like she's the big cheese. And of course, Sarah, you know, putting up with that, and out went Hagar. What a mess. What a mess. If Abraham had just listened to what God had said, there would have been no problems. And as a result, we've got Ishmael. You create an Ishmael, you live with an Ishmael. Treat your Christianity seriously. And so when he goes on, a hateful woman when she is married. Listen, it's bad if it's a hateful man or a hateful woman, but right now we're talking about the woman in this, in relationship to this. Well, Titus 2 is another one. Wives, you want to learn how to be wives, Titus 2 is an excellent New Testament place to go. Yeah, Proverbs 31, yeah, that's great too. Not taken away from, but Titus 2 is very powerful. He says here, the older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior. Any of you older sisters here, irreverent? He says, not slanderers. Do you know the word devil means slanderer? It's someone who goes and talks about someone else. He accuses the brethren to God. So he's saying, don't be devils. Don't go gossiping about these things. You're not given to much wine. Be sober, that is, physically. Teachers of good things. Now, the Greek word there for teachers is not the typical word to teach like in a form like I'm doing now. That's a different Greek word. The Greek word here is to lead through example, through sharing the lifestyle, to not be silly, but to be sober in good things. And he develops that thought. That they admonish the young women. See, he's developing what he said. I want you to be teachers of good things. I want you to do this. What is it, Paul? I want you older sisters in the Lord to admonish the young women to do what? To love, it says right here in verse 4, their husbands, to love their children. Well, what are you saying? Are you saying that the wives are having a hard time loving their husbands? Are you saying they're having a hard time truly loving their children? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I want you older sisters to help them out because they're getting tripped up. Something is drawing them away. Something is seducing them. And I need you to be mature and I need you to get involved so it doesn't come to the church. I want you to be good women, good examples, not exceptions. He says to be discreet, to be chaste, homemakers. Ooh, evil homemakers. The university said it so. Let's all go bow down to the universities then. All of us, let's get a bus and go to the universities and bow down to their wisdom. You won't find me in that number. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little hot here because so many people believe it. Christians get out of the church and they go to the universities. They pay for instruction on how to leave the simple things of God's word. They pay for it. Homemakers. This is not a more honorable position on earth. There may be as honorable positions, but there is none more good. Oh no, let's don't be good. Let's don't be chaste. Let's don't be discreet. You see, of course, through absurdity, I'm trying to highlight the importance of these instructions. Because when these things break down, people are going to pay. Lives are going to suffer, and they should not. Forgetting those things which are in the past, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. If you're sitting here this morning, you're saying, I'm guilty of these things. I've made a mess of my past. What do I do? I'm telling you right now, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Press toward the mark, toward the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that? Are you getting the vision of God? Do you see what kind of human being God wants you to be? If you're going to be playing around with the world and trying to be serious with God at the same time, you're going to meet with great resistance. To be an effective Christian, it's going to take everything you have. That's why Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What part of all does not mean all? And so he continues, he says, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Is there anything about that that's complicated? Is there a but somebody would like to put between God's word and their life? If you say, well, but you don't know my husband. Well, I don't have to know your husband. I know Jesus Christ. And if you know Jesus Christ, you will find out what it is he wants from you. You will do it, period. Christians have gone to the stake for other things. Why not for this too? I know. There's always some exception that seems to be a fair one. But if I say what it is, those who don't need or aren't fit for that exception, they'll grab onto it. That's human nature. A drowning man will grasp for a straw. I don't know how else to say these things. Titus chapter 2, verse 5 lays it out very clearly. If you cannot conform to that, I have nothing to add. Why don't we do a lot of counseling here at the church? Because the pulpit is the counselor. We say it from here. So we get in counseling, we have nothing new to say. We're going to say what we said here. That's why we don't do it. The Word of God is our counselor. Wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We happen to believe that. Is there something wrong with that? Did I say something wrong? Is it something I said? When I preach as a pastor, I preach to me too. It forces me to go home and try to be an honorable husband and point out all the things my wife does wrong. Verse 24, therefore, because of all this, that is what that therefore is there for. It's because of all this, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Oh, it doesn't mean everything. You see, the Greek word means everything, but you don't have to believe that. You can change it. So if you take out your black marker and cross out everything and write something else there. Yeah, you see the folly of that, don't you? Have I lost you? Is someone here hating on me now for saying these things? Oh, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. Well, you know, we reject that because guilty is guilty. But you're not guilty to be humiliated. You're guilty to go to the throne, be cleansed, be strong, and change it. That's why. But so long as you want to pretend that your feelings are more important than your guilt, you will remain guilty. And there's nothing anyone can do. He talks about being subject to the church. Where do I start? Just take two verses. We don't have time. Hebrews chapter 13. They're both here. 7 and 17. Verse 7. Remember those who rule over you. And the word there in the Greek rule is rule. It's, of course, church order. Not your lives. We don't come over to your house and tell you what to cook for dinner, how to wear your hair, what kind of clothes to wear. But when it comes to the church and how we order the church, we rule over this as stewards. A steward is someone who manages someone else's property. This is God's property. We've been assigned a stewardship, and we have full authority in doing this. You find a church you don't like, you want to stay there and cause problems, no matter how wrong they are, you're worse. It's not your place. Get up and leave then. But don't stay there and cause a problem because you have not been given the place of authority. So he says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Then verse 17, he says, again, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy, not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. See, God's going to bring it up later. You know, I put these men in the church to conduct business, to preach my word, but you gave him a hard time. Yeah, if he was right or wrong, I'll deal with that, but now I'm dealing with you. You see how it works? We're supposed to live as though we are going to see Jesus, and we're going to give an account of how we serve. If you take that accountability out of the way, then you have lawlessness. And if you have lawlessness, you have the chaos that Satan brought there in the Garden of Eden when Adam surrendered authority and mankind fell into sin. And then he turns his attention to the husbands in verse 25. He says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. You say, but. There it is. Men, you can have big butts too. You know, I just should not have said that. I meant B-U-T-T, but I could just see someone swig. Anyway, men can have, I can't think of an alternate right now. But we're going to have to stay with but. Men can put their but right in the way and say, but I have an excuse. I've got a reason. No, you don't. You're supposed to love your wife, but she doesn't look as good as she used to look. You're an idiot. I mean, there's no other way to deal with somebody that dumb. Just tell them what they are. Maybe they'll go, I am. And I don't like it. And I'm going to change it.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio today. Cross Reference is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you'd like more information about this ministry or want to listen to additional teachings from Pastor Rick, please visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll never have to miss a program. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. We hope you'll tune in again next time to join us as we continue our study through the book of Ephesians with Pastor Rick. That's right here on Cross Reference Radio.